Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. Man, I have been loving these conversations with men who are committed to the hero's journey and the soulful conversations that are a natural extension of this initiatory path. Whenever I find myself in these circles and conversations, it feels quite a bit like a homecoming for me. As a man who has been engaged in these topics many times in many different formats and settings over the years, I find the depth to be reassuring and supportive of my own choices. Small talk is fine for a bit, but the soul longs to hear what is really happening. And I feel it is our duty as men to provide the road signs for the men who will follow in our footsteps. It's important to leave footprints along the faint trail, for otherwise, how will our sons and nephews and grandsons know where to find sturdy footing in an otherwise unsure world? Myth will continue to be our guiding light if only we let it in and receive the messages. For those that are attuned to the new frequency, it is our sacred duty, is it not, to do our best to hold the flame of divine truth or the light of the Christ or the universal heartbeat in ourselves as a lighthouse for what is unfolding. I can think of no higher purpose than this. My guest today is a new friend of mine and someone that I have truly enjoyed getting to know. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is John Owensby. John is a neuro-linguistic programming facilitator and a relationship coach who's been deeply influenced by the Mankind Project and the men's personal development movement, something we both share. Here is my interview with John Owensby. All right, I am here with John Owensby, father and grandfather, Mankind Project, New Warrior alumni, NLP facilitator. John Owensby. John, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Tony, thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure, brother.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, you and I have just got to be good friends quite recently. It's been just an awesome getting to know you, so I wanted to have you on. And before we really get rolling, let's just give the listeners a little bit of who you are, a little bit of your background, where you grew up, how long you've been in the men's movement and the personal development space, kind of how big is your family and where do you live now? Whatever you'd like to touch on.
Well, Tony, I've lived in Bremerton, Washington my entire life and worked as in the local government for 38 years. I've got three children who I raised as a single dad, and between them, they've given me 12 grandchildren.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, right? That sure gets busy at Christmas time, I tell you.
My Lord, yeah.
And yeah, I got into the men's movement about 2017. I went through the MKP program. And just before that, I'd gotten into Seattle Life Coach training, and that turned into MKP, and boom, my life has been changed ever since then.
That's great. You know, when you said 12 grandkids, John, it reminded me of the movie It's a Wonderful Life when they toast George Bailey at the end. It's like John Owensby, the richest man in town. You know, that's like
They definitely bring the gold, Tony.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we just came off our first Duckabush men's retreat. I did an episode with Jimmy, another co-facilitator, and I wanted to ask you. You know, I have a feeling we're going to do it for years and years to come, and I think men are going to flock to do it because the medicine there is so great. But what did you learn about yourself and other men on the retreat? And then the second part of that question is, why do you continue to make men's work sort of a cornerstone of your personal growth?
Well, I just got to say, Tony, that this was a huge milestone for me in personal growth. I had been talking about putting on a retreat at this site for years and years, and this was the first time that we're able to. This was a property that my mom and dad owned, and I bought it from their estate when they passed, and it just this is the time that it happened, and so it was huge. And one of the biggest things that I learned is that there is no right and wrong, and everything works out. It's we did a process that really looked at one aspect of men and then another aspect of men. And a lot of people run through looking at men as, hey, this is the person that's in front of me. And really the deeper work is, wow, what I see may not be the truth. There might be a whole lot deeper aspects of this man. So that was huge. And it's, I've done men's work, I've done stuff forever, and it was like that was just a really good reminder. It's like, wow, perception is projection. It's like we're not always seeing what is really under there.
That's so well spoken. And I wanted to ask you, because my sense is that men, whether they realize it or not, we've been so conditioned to live from this kind of, I don't want to say macho, but certainly kind of this stoic front of, I don't need other men to do my thing, right? But as I've invited men for decades to the Mankind Project's training or maybe something else that the men were doing that was on the side, I started to pick up, and I know you spoke about this as well, that there was a fear of men amongst men. And that might sound weird, like, oh, men are tough, they're not afraid. But I think men have this kind of hesitancy to go in and do men's work because they're like, I don't know what it's going to be. And some of these men kind of scare me or a little intimidating to me. I remember being quite intimidated. We'll talk about the Mankind Project training in a bit here, but I remember being quite intimidated by the men that were very excitedly inviting me, like it's the greatest thing. And I was like, oh my God, this is freaking me out a bit. Like, you know what I mean? And so I wanted to give you a chance just to speak to that, because I think you had said, went either off conversation, off record, that before doing the men's work, that you had carried kind of this kind of latent fear of men. And I wanted to give you a chance just to address it, because I think it's lingering in the male tribe, for lack of a better way of saying it, the uninitiated.
I didn't have any type of structured sports, no military background. I just had the knowledge of my father. And that was a little scary at times. So it's like I had a fear of men, and what I've noticed is my ego compares me to other men, and I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel whatever. It's like I judge myself to what I think that they are. And then, of course, doing the work, doing the work. I got to be honest, if I didn't go through that Seattle Life Coach training and have the trust in the men that invited me, I don't know that I would have went.
I grew up in a working class town, so I think you had mentioned your dad could be a little bit of a hothead, right? And I grew up in a working class town. A lot of those men were just pissed off, man. They were pissed off because he had to work at the mill. They were pissed off because maybe they weren't happy in their marriage. There was just a lot of male anger, and I found that to be intimidating. Like it felt like the message that I got, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. The message I got from this working class, I mean, these were tough men, no question, but it felt like I have to be angry all the time and pissed off at the world, or I'm not a real man. And I think it betrayed this other side of me that's like, well, I don't really feel that way. So does that make me a sissy? Does that make me a pussy? Does that make me less than a man if I want to be more than just this pissed off, guy that drinks all the time? Does that make sense?
It does. And I didn't get that. I didn't get that so much. I can totally see it. It's like it's our projection that we're putting out there. It's what it's the image of the inside of us that we're putting out on the outside. It's it's kind of funny, Tony, because I used to tell a story, and it's kind of funny. It's because I used to say, oh, I swear my name was God damn it until I was 21. God damn it, do this. God damn it, I told you this. God damn it, what are you doing? God damn it, shit. It's kind of funny. But here's the thing. I told that story for so long, and I kept that story going on by reinforcing it. So I always had that projection of my father for so long.
Well, let's talk about MKP, because what year did you go through the New Warrior training?
It was 2017.
So how did you, like, who invited you? What was the reason you said yes? And then maybe what were two or three things that you took away from the training that maybe you still use today, or some sort of way of seeing things that is still active in your life, like a breakthrough that maybe you never went back to your old way of being?
Well, so like I said, I went to that life coaching course, and I trusted a couple guys there. And after that, Jeffrey Wood, he called up and said, "Hey, we're going down to Colorado, down to this thing where it's a Mankind Project, and I'm taking my sons. We're going to go down and meet some other men, and we're going to go through this training." And I've kind of always been at like. I don't want this to sound right, but yeah, like a yes man. I believe in trust, and it's like, yeah, yes, that sounds good. So I had no clue what I was getting into, and went across the state up into the mountains to the Triple J Ranch, and I went and saw that man, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that must have been pretty shocking weekend if you're coming in.
And the processes that we did, just I healed parts of me that didn't feel loved and respected. There was a couple of processes that just I'll never forget them. Trusting other men, and the biggest takeaway is when we were leaving and we met all of the men that were there for us. It's like just the love and connection in that group was crazy. Oh, and here's another thing. Here, this was huge. It was towards the end of the deal, and I stood out in the middle of a ring and owned. Ooh, kind of gets a little emotional, but because I didn't like my dad, and I sat there and owned who I was.
That's a powerful one too.
Yeah, I am the son of, I am the father of. It's like, whoa. And to really have that I am statement, I left there with a purpose. I left there with a mission. Just powerful.
Go ahead.
In fact, so we in MKP, you do your weekend and you have a homecoming, and the homecoming is like a few days after the weekend, and I was from out of state, so I went home, and the event was so impactful. I went home, told my boss I was going back. And I went back for the homecoming.
That's great. The processes that you mentioned, without getting into too much detail, they're really, every man goes through 65 processes on a warrior weekend, and the two that you mentioned are definitely highlights for me as well. It was funny because when I came out off the weekend and I started comparing notes to the other guys that came off, it was a little interesting to me when I said, oh, here's three, four, five processes that were the most powerful for me. but it was different man to man. Like some of them were like this, like the one you said about claiming the lineage, that to me was so great and so powerful. But it was interesting that some of the ones that I was like, oh, that was fine, you know, it wasn't transformative. For some other man, it was like the one they'll never forget. So it really depended on what the man brought in. It's really a customizable experience, even though we're all doing the same stuff. It's funny when you said, you know, I just showed up. I've got this funny thing. I showed up. I thought it was going to be a different kind of weekend when I showed up. I brought a football. And when I checked out on Sunday and they give you back some of your stuff, I looked at my football and I just looked at a new friend. I go, well, I didn't fucking need that this weekend. You know, it's like, you're not fucking throwing the football around. You know, it's like, it was just funny. My misperception of what I thought it was going to be and what it actually was. You know, are they, I've heard some bad rumors, and I don't know if they're true, that there's a lot of woke, you know, they pulled some things off the weekend because they were getting into some hot water with the Native American community. And then somebody said, yeah, it's getting really woke with all the pronouns. And I'm like, oh my God. So I don't know if it's true. I was going to suggest to you that maybe you and I can pick out a weekend to staff at some point down near Portland and go down there. To maybe we have a friend or two that goes through the weekend and you and I can staff and kind of scout it out and see what's what.
I would love that. And even if it's a little woke,
yeah,
I don't swing that way, but I would love to go just because of men's work. I would love to see what it is and come back and
because I have two or three, four guys that are always threatening to go, and I could throw out some invitations in you, and maybe we get a few of our friends down there, and then you and I staff. Staffing's phenomenal. It's so good, like you said. Yeah, it would be great. You know, I know you do NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and I heard you either write or say that habitual thinking can be like a prison. And I completely agree with you on that. But how, in your viewpoint, is habitual thinking a prison? And how do we start to get out of it or create more openings in our thinking with language? And I know this is a big topic, and I'm just giving you a chance to kind of talk about the top notes, like the easy stuff that maybe that you find when people are stuck in habitual ways of thinking, which we see a lot right now all over the world. And especially in this country around geopolitics, you're seeing entrenched thinking on both sides of the political spectrum. So it's not, nobody's immune to this. And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about how it can feel like a prison when you're stuck in habitual ways of seeing and speaking.
Well, let's just go back to the story that I told about my dad.
Yeah.
Literally, Tony, it's a freaking story. Yep. It's a story that I created in my mind, right? Now, every single time I tell that story, it tells my unconscious mind, yep, that's what happened. Yep, that's what happened. Yep, that's what happened. And I create that. And so I have that same story about my dad. So it's hard to really look at him in a different way. It's hard to look at him as a man doing the best that he could with the resources he had. Yeah. So I held on to that story forever. And I used to tell that story to people. I told that story to myself. And that's where NLP gets into the language that you tell yourself, the language that you tell other people. So basically, I put myself and my opinion of my father in a little bit of a prison.
Yeah.
What if I just looked at him as a man who was doing the best he could with the resources he had? What if I just looked at him and said, wow, you okay? My perception of what happened really isn't the truth. It's what I felt the truth was in the moment. Mm-hmm. But what if I was able to look at that and say a little bit of a different story?
That's great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's what I'm hearing you say is you use NLP to discover the stories that have been entrenched and keeping us stuck, and using language to create stories that aren't have all that disempowering context attached to it, because they're often not true. They're just ways that we have told ourselves either to feel safe or, you know, I like being subconsciously, maybe I like being a victim. So I'm going to tell myself this story that keeps me small. I don't ever have to address, you know, things. Would that be accurate to say your NLP allows you to discover what has been disempowering you and then create storylines or different ways of using language that are more uplifting or inspiring or maybe mission oriented or however you want to phrase it?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, it helps me look at my life, and I'm able to look at other people and tell them, you know, see what the story is that they're telling. Because what we are always telling everybody, our story. We're always expressing what's going on inside of us. Mm-hmm. So NLP really helps you take a look at yourself and other people. So if somebody comes to me and keeps telling me that story, well, my dad, I swear my name was God damn it. He did this and he did that and he this and he that. So it, as like an NLP practitioner, you're able to go, really, what else could have been happening? Really, what else could have, you know, when you know that it's just a story, you're able to draw out a little more information and shift people's perception of what really happened.
That's fantastic. You know, I've often said I'm a big proponent of the hero's journey. And I like to say that each chapter of your hero's journey is going to require a slightly different version of yourself. Each chapter has its initiation. There's often your some of your power and your God-given gifts for humanity get strengthened over time, as well as you're often required to let go of what we've just been talking about, disempowering patterns, baggage, trauma, things that need to be healed. It's you can't take the baggage with you chapter to chapter. There requires work. There requires a letting go. There requires a courageous leap sometimes when you are required to start a new practice or a business or some endeavor that maybe you've been scared to start. And there's often clues. I know there was for me when I got sober 12 years ago, there was plenty of clues along the way that indicated that I was having an initiation. I was being called to the initiatory threshold and God was asking me, are you ready? Because through that door is a whole new chapter, but you can't take all that booze with you. What do you see? What are the murmurings from the divine? What kind of clues are you getting that may be your next chapters and your next initiation?
Well, you know, they talk about manifestation and I see messages all over. It's like, I kind of believe one way that God, if you will, or your unconscious or the higher power is able to speak through you is through metaphors, is through pictures. You see things. And I'm just always noticing positive stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm always just kind of open. And I call myself a manifestation magnet anymore. Positive things are just always happening. I'll think about somebody and they'll call. I'll think about what's happening in my life. And then something just represents that. And it's just, I look at everything as a message.
Yeah.
And it really is just, it's a beautiful way of looking at life. It's taken me a while. The cleaner you get, the less baggage you have, the more you're able to see and hear these kind of things.
Yeah, I can see you also. So I heard manifestation and really using language to manifest, but also I can see you being asked for more leadership. You know, like on this weekend, I can see you stepping out on a new trail there with support, that you're going to be asked to lead men's work groups, individuals, and also incorporate this NLP, this language part for men, which is so important, and there's so much work there that's juicy, and I think you really understand it well. Well, John, what before we sign off, is there any other where can people find you? Is there a website? I know you're just starting up some of these endeavors. Is there a way that if somebody wants to reach out and work with you, are you doing the NLP work right now one-on-one? Or is that something that's in the works? I wanted to give you a chance to promote anything that you want right now before we sign off.
Well, Tony, I haven't gone out 100%. And I retired from my job a year ago. I've taken a year and just kind of like free floating.
Yeah.
But I have johnowensby.com. And you can find me at johnowensby.com. And you can email me at holisticguiding.com.
Beautiful.
And
yeah, go ahead.
I specialize in men and women moving forward in relationships and letting go of all of the previous experiences. And it's not the experiences, but it's the emotions and the mental thoughts that are told that we carry on to the next relationship. So I take a deep dive into programming, cycles, rhythms, values, what we learned from our parents, what we learned from our aunties and uncles, what we've learned in that gestalt stage, and let go of a lot of the stuff that's not serving us, and then moving into the relationship of our dreams that we're looking for. In fact, I had a guy called me just a couple days ago who would go into this depressed state. Basically, in a nutshell, there would be an argument, he would blow up and then run away, and he would wait for his partner to come over, and he'd be in this depressed state. And he called up the other day and said, "John, I got in an argument with what's your name?" And he goes, "Dude, I couldn't go back into that old place where I used to go hide." He's like, it's beautiful. He goes, "I can't go there anymore." So I stood and we worked things out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't wait to see what else you develop. I'll be tracking as your friend. And I'm really looking forward, John, to us standing side by side in these retreats, Mankind Project, wherever we find ourselves with mutual interest in our missions, which, you know, you and I have some overlapping things in our mission that we're standing for the world, and in particular around men. So thank you so much, John, for coming on to Base Camp for Men and sharing your insight and your wisdom. So appreciate your friendship, and so appreciate the work you're doing and are going to do in the future. I think it's going to be really exciting and really important and impactful for men.
Thank you, Tony. Brother, it's been a privilege to be here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did with my friend John Owensby. These are the kinds of dialogue that all men need to be a part of. Deeper conversations about shadow and light, the soul's journey, and how men can support and assist one another in the upcoming important chapters that we all face. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.